Good morning, and welcome to Just One Thing, Simple Practices for Resilient Happiness by Dr. Rick Hansen. This is your volunteer programmer, Babs Felix, in Green Valley. Rick Hansen, PhD, is a psychologist and New York Times best-selling author. He's been invited to speak at NASA, Oxford, Stanford, Harvard, and meditation centers worldwide. His books are available in 28 languages and include Making Great Relationships, Hardwiring Happiness, Just One Thing, and Mother Nurture. His work has been featured on the BBC, CBS, NPR, and other major media. And now, Just One Thing. Do you feel swamped with bad news? The practice. Find the good news. Why? Tell the truth. It's the foundation of science and the foundation of healthy relationships, communities, and countries. But the truth of things is complicated. To simplify, there is the good of things that are enjoyable and helpful, the bad of things that are painful and harmful, and the neutral of things that are neither. We need to recognize genuinely bad news for our own sake and to take care of others. But we also need to recognize good news, things that are useful, reassuring, inspiring, opportunities, solutions, etc. The brain's negativity bias. Unfortunately, we have a brain that generally fixates on bad news and brushes past good news. Over the 600 million year evolution of the nervous system, our ancestors first had to avoid two kinds of mistakes. One, thinking that there's a tiger in the bushes, but actually all is well. Or, two, thinking that all is well while actually there is a tiger about to pounce. What's the cost of the first mistake? Just needless worry. But what's the potential cost of the second mistake? No more mistakes forever. So we have a brain that tends to make the first mistake again and again to avoid ever making the second one. And second, our ancestors had to get carrots, such as food, and avoid sticks, such as predators. Imagine living back in the Stone Age, or even Jurassic Park. If you didn't get a carrot today, you'd have another chance tomorrow. But if you didn't avoid every single stick today, game over. Consequently, negative experiences are fast-tracked into memory. Once burned, twice shy. While most positive experiences slip through the brain like water through a sieve. In effect, the brain is like Velcro for negative experiences, but Teflon for positive ones. As a result, we routinely overestimate threats while underestimating opportunities and resources. Some people have an optimism bias in what they say, but in their actions, studies show that most people work harder to avoid pain than to get pleasure, and remember failures and rejections more than successes and kindness from others. One result is that the media focuses on bad news because that's what people pay attention to. Thus, the saying in journalism is, if it bleeds, it leads. Living in a bad dream. It's as if we live in a subtle nightmare in which the shadows and threats are close and intense, while our resources and opportunities seem distant and weak. We think the dream is real, so there's no point in trying to wake up from it. Our beliefs in the dream trap us like the bars of an invisible cage. As many have taught, I believe that the root cause of suffering and harm is ignorance, illusion, not seeing things as they actually are. So when we wake up and see the facts and live in the light, we feel much freer, more at ease, clearer about genuine threats, and more confident about dealing with them. Waking up and seeing clearly. Remember a time in your past when you realized that things were not as bad as you thought? How did it feel to wake up in this way? For instance, I recognized in my 20s that I'd been a real nerd, but definitely not a wimp as a kid. This was a huge relief for me. In other examples, I've known people who came to see that they could be strong and others would still like them. They could see that they could have fun without being buzzed with drugs or alcohol. That most other people did not care about their appearance. There's often less standing in the way of our dreams than we think. Yes, sometimes when we wake up, it's to bad news that we have not recognized. Perhaps you realize that you've hit a ceiling in your job, or you've been too cranky with your kids, or a friend is not trustworthy in an important way. Living in the truth means seeing both good and bad clearly. But because of the brain's evolved negativity bias, most of the time when we wake up, it's to truly good news. How? Recognize bad news. To repeat, nothing I'm saying here is about positive thinking, looking on the bright side, or seeing through rose-colored glasses. We need to see real threats, real problems, at all levels. For example, as an individual, I've needed to see that I have to slow down some as I get older. A couple may need to see that it has to stop getting so caught up in circular arguments. Humanity altogether needs to recognize that dumping 1 million tons a day of carbon dioxide into the air is already having devastating effects that will only get worse for our children and theirs. And to deal with actually bad news, it really helps to recognize the good news that is also true. This puts challenges in perspective, highlights resources, and evokes the positive experiences that are the main basis for growing inner strengths such as grit, gratitude, and compassion. Recognize when there's no tiger in the bushes, or that you can deal with it. Consider your fears, especially the everyday ones, such as, if I say how I really feel, people will hurt me or leave me. If I ask for a raise, I'll lose my job. If I look for a partner, no one will want me. How many of these fears are actually true? Here are three really important questions. What are the odds of them happening? If indeed they happened, how bad would it really feel? And if the unlikely event did happen, and if it felt really bad, how would you cope? Think about the many things that protect and support you, from locks to laws, friends to health insurance. Again, this is about seeing clearly, not about overestimating the resources in your life. In particular, think about the inner strengths that you've used for tough times in the past, and which you could draw upon to deal with challenges today. Recognize opportunities. What have you always wanted to do, but told yourself it is out of reach? Ask yourself, what would happen if you invested just 20 minutes a day in meditation, or in exercise, or in supportive conversation with a friend or partner? Or what would happen if you invested just an hour a day in all three? What would happen if you spent half an hour a day on some project, such as writing a book, laying the groundwork for changing careers, learning a musical instrument, or making art? And could these hours add up over a single year? Recognize good news about yourself. Consider some of the ways you have been seen, included, appreciated, liked, or loved. Think about the people who have seen the real you and still cared about you. Can you see yourself as another person might, and recognize the good heart in you, the sincere efforts, the longing for a just world, the talents and skills, the intuitions and imagination, and the innate natural goodness and wisdom inside you and everyone else? When we look around, things can seem overwhelming, especially at the level of society and its politics. It's easy to get lost in helpless outrage. Few of us have the power to make sweeping changes in a country, but all of us have the power to do something each day that makes life a little better for those around us. And gradually, these efforts ripple out in widening circles in ways seen and unseen to touch the whole world. Looking back over the sweep of human history, the good that has gradually developed is mainly the result of the slowly accumulating efforts of countless unnamed people. We are not helpless in our own lives. The words we speak, the attention we offer, the votes we cast, the hands we hold, the dreams we honor, these all matter. They matter to others, and they matter to oneself. Knowing that you have done what you could in the one life you have. The effort itself is good, and knowing you have made it is deeply good news. I love these last lines in Dylan Thomas's poem, Fern Hill. Time held me green and dying, though I sang in my chains like the sea. You are listening to Just One Thing, Simple Practices for Resilient Happiness by Dr. Rick Hansen. And here's a quote from Dr. Rick. The central political issue of our time is not between the left and the right. It is between those who will tell the truth and play fair, and those who will not. You are listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona in Flagstaff. And here's another just one thing. Do you see a bully? The practice. Stand up to bullies. Why? Humans are profoundly social. Woven through the tapestry of our relationships are several major threads. One of these is power. The only question is, do we use it for good or ill? The abuse of power can be called many things, including intimidation, fraud, discrimination, and tyranny. I'll use a term that's down to earth. Bullying. Bullies are unfortunately common. Throughout history, and right now today, from homes and schoolyards to the halls of power, they create a vast amount of human suffering. What can we do? How? In this short space, I'll offer some summary suggestions. You can help them be concrete by applying them to bullies you've experienced or observed. Recognize bullies. Bullies are dominating, have to be the alpha, look for targets who seem weaker, no compassion. Bullies are defensive, never wrong, scorn others, avoid responsibility. Bullies are deceptive, manipulate grievances to gain support, cheat, hide the truth since their power is based on lies. Beware of an innocence or naivete that just can't believe another person or group would act that way. As Maya Angelou put it, when someone shows you who they are, believe them the first time. Recognize enablers. People and organizations can sometimes tolerate or even value bullies, such as cheering on a bully who is hurting someone they look down on. This enabling takes different forms, including pretending that all is normal or claiming falsely that both sides do it. From playgrounds to parliaments, people with an authoritarian personality style have an affinity for bullying leaders and form the core of their supporters. Protect yourself. Sometimes you are struck with a bully. You are stuck with a bully, at least for a while. Be careful. Weigh your options and do what is best for you. Have compassion. Deep down, the mind of a bully is like a hell realm of fended off feelings of weakness and shame, always threatening to invade. Lots of suffering there. Compassion for a bully is not approval. It can be calming and strengthening for you. And of course, the targets of bullies deserve our care. Even if you can do nothing to help them, your compassion is still authentic. It matters to you, and it may matter to others in ways you'll never know. Name it. Tell the truth to yourself. Tell it to others. And, if appropriate, tell the truth to bullies and their enablers. This could be a version of that truth. You are a bully. You cheated and lied to get your power. You act tough, but you're actually weak and frightened. You might be able to harm me and others, but I am not afraid of you. I see who you are. Bullies may acquire institutional authority, but never moral legitimacy. They know their power is on thin ice. Name the lying, the cheating, the weakness. Name the fakery, and name the illegitimacy. Stand with others. Bullies target lone individuals and vulnerable groups to display dominance and create fear. This is sometimes called performative cruelty. So gather allies who will stand with you if you're being bullied. Also ask others to stand up to bullies. Sitting on the sidelines just perpetuates bullying. And together, stand with and for those others who are bullied. It may make no material difference, but it always makes a moral and psychological difference to those who stand up and to those that they stand for. Punish bullying. I mean punish in the sense of justice, not vengeance. The act of bullying itself is rewarding to a bully, even if there's no concrete benefit. It's like pulling a pleasurable lever on a slot machine that sometimes delivers a jackpot. If you're a bully, why not keep pulling? So there must be a real cost. And in terms the bully cares about, hand-wringing and expressions of concern are irrelevant to a bully. Enablers also need to pay a price. Otherwise, why would they stop? Since bullying is common, people have developed a variety of ways to punish it. Depending on the situation, you could, with moral confidence, name the bullying for what it is. Dispute false claims of legitimacy. Laugh at bullies, who are usually thin-skinned. Confront lies, including denial of harms that they're doing. Build up sources of power to challenge the bully. Confront enablers. They're complicit in bullying. Engage the legal system. Remove bullies from positions of power. See the big picture. Bullying is enabled and fostered by underlying conditions. For example, bullies draw power from the grievances of others. Address those grievances and reduce the bully's power. Bullies try to dominate our attention, much like they try to dominate everything else. But there is a larger world beyond their control. It contains so many things that are working, enjoyable, beautiful, and virtuous. Disengage as much as possible from ruminating on helpless outrage, fantasies of payback, and fault-finding others who aren't doing enough. Bad enough that the bully is out there in the world. Try not to let the bully invade your own mind. You are listening to Just One Thing, Simple Practices for Resilient Happiness by Dr. Rick Hansen, brought to you by Sun Sounds of Arizona in Flagstaff. And finally, here's a quote from Dr. Rick. Liars and cheaters are usually very good at distracting others with wild and dramatic counterclaims. So we need to stay focused on simple questions and not be bamboozled by side issues. Are you trustworthy? Why should anyone ever listen to you again? You have been listening to Just One Thing, Simple Practices for Resilient Happiness by Dr. Rick Hansen. This is your volunteer programmer, Babs Felix, in Green Valley. Thank you so much for listening today, and I hope that you have a wonderful rest of your day. And now, stay tuned for more programming, brought to you by Sun Sounds